informed. Subscribe and share the episodes. You have been listening to Eco Justice Radio, a project of SoCal 350 and Adventures in Waste. Executive producer Jack Eye, producer and co-host Jessica Aldridge, co-host Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blakewake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
Boogie Cat, meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once upon a time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month, from 11 to noon, here at KBOO 90.7 FM.
Oh, what a world! KBOO 90.7. Tasha T. said that.
You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a digital space for students at PCC experiencing disabilities to share their perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or our community partners. We broadcast on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Hi, thank you for tuning into this episode of Let's Talk. I'm Carrie Cantrell, and in this episode, I'm joined by my co-host and colleague, Sharon Verdine, as we interview Carissa Bohush, an expert in accessible voting from the Multnomah County Elections Office, who discusses with us the importance of voter participation and the support available for disabled and vulnerable populations here in Multnomah County. She covers the details on how to register, the vote-by-mail processes, and assistance offered to ensure everyone can participate in our democracy. Carissa also shares some of her personal passions and recounts the history of voter accommodations, as well as some inspirational stories that she's experienced throughout the breadth of her career. Listen through the whole thing to hear Carissa's detailed presentation at the end of our episode, explaining exactly how to get in touch with accessible voting resources. So please enjoy the conversation and don't forget to check out this episode's webpage for additional accessible formats and resources mentioned in the broadcast. Thank you for joining us on the Let's Talk Podcast Collective. My name is Carrie Cantrell. I'm one of the producers of Let's Talk podcast, and I'm joined by Sharon.
Hi, I'm Sharon Verdine, also known as Anne Verdine, and I am the newest member of the Let's Talk podcast collective, or one of the newest members, I guess. And I'm so happy to be a part of this interview, co-interviewing Carissa.
That's right. Thank you for joining us here from the Multnomah County Elections Office. You are in charge of accessibility for the elections process here in Multnomah County. Is that correct?
That's right. And my official title is Accessibility Voter Tech. And I have always been enchanted with democracy. I believe in vigorous debate all through high school, and I watched my parents and grandparents vote. And one time in, it must have been 2012, I walked into the elections office and I said, I want to work here. How do I do that? And they told me about the open recruitment that was coming up in a couple of months. So I really hit the timing well and I applied for a job. I was on the phone bank for 8 years, and about 4 years ago, I got the current job that I'm in. And I also did a stint at the Oregon legislature as a committee assistant. And I found that I love nonpartisan. So in my private life, of course, I have an opinion, but when I'm at work, I am nonpartisan because I really support vigorous debate.
That's an amazing story, how you joined your career. You have to follow your passion.
Can you explain the history of voting by mail in Oregon? We're one of the few states in the whole country to do this. Why are we unique in this?
Yeah, you know, in Oregon, it was actually put forward as a citizens' initiative. And there are 8 other states, and I believe D.C., that have voting by mail. There are also a number of other states that have voting by mail in certain circumstances, like if it's a small election or the jurisdiction is small. One of the big things is that it is cheaper, that you save a lot of money by mailing and out the ballot and getting the ballot by mail. The second one is it's a lot more comfortable and you have more time and there's less pressure. And then the third, so that's convenience. So there's convenience, it's accessibility, if you think about it. And then it's quite a bit cheaper. And initially, there was a lot of really great organizations that also supported that citizens initiative, and one of them being the League of Women Voters. So it's been over 20 years since Oregon has had it. And I want to say that it's been really a strong and well-written law. And through COVID, as you may have known, a lot of states had to make a bunch of different changes. We did pretty much nothing. We did our election exactly as we have always done it. And I really feel like that shows the strength and also the intelligence of our law. Great. It's a great question. You know, why? Why do we do it?
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, it seems like some of the benefits are kind of obvious if you just stop and think about it for a minute. It's cheaper. You don't have to pay for buildings and equipment and storage for everything it takes to go into a voting place. You also don't have to pay employees or staff to manage the election events. And it's also kind of self-run in the way a citizen is inspired or motivated to vote. They can do it from the comfort of their own home, which, as you said, is also a nod towards accessibility of the process. What are some of the challenges of requiring citizens to vote by mail?
You know, it's such an easy access. You're going to make me think really hard to find any challenges. I would say that a lot of people miss going to the polls, and that's what I refer to as old school. So due to the law, there's a certain percentage of voting stations that must be made available in each county. And so our lobby is set up with easily 30 different voting stations, and you can come in. You can bring your own ballot in that you got in the mail, and you can vote it here along with other people that are voting as well and turn it in. Or you can walk in and ask for a ballot and we will draw you up another ballot package before, as we check to make sure you haven't already voted, of course. So I would say that's one of the complaints I hear from time to time is people really liked going to their neighborhood voting places. And I did too, but you just can't beat the convenience of being able to vote at home and having that time to talk things over with friends, families, and neighbors. So you can get an understanding of the different contests. And I will say, if you don't mind, I'm going to slide in a few things. One of the things that people worry about is if they don't know enough about a particular topic or set of candidates, and a ballot is not a test. You do not have to answer everything. You can vote on one thing and that is a valid ballot. So when people are stressing out that they haven't had time to research something, they can just skip that question.
That's really good to know. And, you know, I'm sure we're aware of certain narratives during the pandemic, during the last voting cycle, that were floated. Is voting by mail as susceptible to fraud as some narratives claim?
That was just discussed not that long in a clerk's meeting, and there's been research done, and all of those narratives are unfounded. The last study that was done from the beginning of when vote by mail happened to 2018, there was 6/10,000ths over the millions of votes. So that is very small. So that's like 6 zeros and then a 6. So 0.0000006 is the number of any votes by fraud. And of course, we vigorously prosecute that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I guess you could speculate on who and what would try and commit fraud in voting, but we won't even go there today. Although I guess that might be a good concern. That might be something to concern ourselves with when it comes to voter accessibility as we move forward in our conversation. That does lead into the next question. How are people's voting rights protected when it comes to vulnerable populations or disabled people, especially when you're talking about people who don't have the same ability or the same cognitive functions, or even if someone's a person with no vision or no hearing, how do you ensure integrity in the voting process and ensure that their rights are upheld?
Right. So we offer assistance to any motivated voter, and anyone who is allowed by law to vote can vote. I am the person behind that. And of course, the whole entire office is behind that. So you can call or email, you could even fax and ask for any sort of assistance. And I don't usually go into total detail. If somebody asks me for assistance, I provide it. And then as far as the vulnerable populations go, we really encourage any motivated voter to vote. Now, sometimes there are people who, like, their family really wants them to vote, but they don't really care. And remember, it is not compulsory to vote in the United States. And if a person is not interested in voting, then they do not have to vote. So I really use the motivated voter standard. If somebody wants to vote, they're going to be able to vote in Multnomah County. Again, as long as they're legal to vote.
What sort of things prevents a person from legally being able to vote? Does that reach into disabled communities? Like, felons are not able to participate in federal elections. So can you clarify, what situation someone can vote or can't vote, especially when it comes to a disabled population?
Right. Well, you asked about a person who may have been incarcerated. The only person that cannot vote is if you are currently incarcerated on a felony charge. So actually, it's if you're incarcerated, you're not able to vote. But if you're an ex-felon, you can totally vote. There's no problem with that. And then as far as somebody that's disabled, if they can make a phone call or send an email or ask someone else to make a phone call or send an email, then we'll definitely connect with them and assist them in registering to vote and vote. So you have to be 18 years old. You can register at 16, but you can't vote until 18. And you have to be a U.S. citizen. You're required to have at least the final four of your social security number or an Oregon ID. And then furthermore, if you do not have either of those two numbers, then you can use a utility bill, a bank statement, or something like a rental receipt that has your name and your address as you are going to register under. So those would all be acceptable, but we prefer the Oregon ID and then the final four. And then again, if you don't have those, then a rental receipt or utility bill with your name on it as you're going to register and your address.
I see. So that kind of clears things up. Basically, if you're over 18 and you can fog a mirror and you have the support or the ability to reach out to your office, you can vote, is what you're trying to say.
Like I said, I will make it so.
Okay. That's great. Sharon, do you have any follow-up questions to that topic?
Are printed ballots the only form of ballot available to citizens? Are other formats available to people with disabilities? For example, if a person needed Braille or digital or verbal or multiple languages, do you have those options?
Yeah, this is a really great question because Oregon has really taken a firm stand on providing alternative languages to English. And so we have our registration form is printed in a variety of languages. The ballot itself is in English. However, with our voter assistance team, the ballot can be read aloud with the independent voting that you can do if you have access to a computer and a screen reader. The ballot can be read to you and then you can like hit your space bar to make the vote that you want to do. And the team or the app that's helping you vote, will make sure that you don't say overvote. It's called an overvote. If there's only one place to vote, then it makes sure that you've not marked two places. So that's both digital and verbal in person and by a computer. It's really great. I'm really proud of it. And I appreciate that question.
I am curious, what are the deadlines to register for the primary and general elections if you have not done so already?
Yeah, so in Oregon, you have to be registered to vote in order to vote. And as a first-time Oregon voter, you need to be registered 21 days in advance. 21 days in advance. So whatever the election is, count off 21 days, about 3 weeks, and that is the number of days. If you are a new person to Oregon, if you have simply moved, you can update your address at any time. The other thing that has a firm deadline is changing your party affiliation. That comes into play only during primaries, and that is every 2 years, and that is also 21 days in advance. Otherwise, again, if all you're doing is updating your name, your spelling of your name, your address, all of that can be done up till 5 minutes until the deadline at 8 o'clock at night on the election day.
You're listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's Disability Awareness Podcast.
Can anyone be a third party assistant to the voting process? What is the accreditation system to ensure fairness and honesty?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. So there's only two kinds of people that cannot help you. And one is your boss or an agent of your boss or your union boss and or an agent of your union boss. And then beyond, so by law, those two categories of people are not able to help you cast a ballot. Outside of that, it's up to the voter. If the voter accepts your help, then anybody can help the voter. And that goes for anybody, actually. If your neighbor is walking by and says, hey, I'm headed to the ballot box, can I take your ballot with me? It's up to you. If you trust that person and you're comfortable with that person, you can hand them their ballot, your ballot, and then they can go turn it in for you. If you do not feel comfortable, then you do not have to. And nobody can try to convince you that they should help you. So if anybody tries to force help on you, call the elections office, because that is very serious to us and everybody should have the help that they want. So your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, you, it's like whatever you're comfortable with, and that is the person that can help you. And if you don't have anybody in your life, say you're a different party affiliation than everybody around you, then you call elections and we will get a team to come and help you where you want, at your house, on your porch, in your yard, at a nearby park, or a cafe. I have sent teams to all those sorts of places. Thanks for that question. I think it's really important.
Very much. And you mentioned calling the elections office if there was an issue like that. What is the process to ask for assistance in voting, and what does the timeline look like if you need to get that assistance in advance?
The elections phone number is 503-988-8683. And then whoever answers the phone, you can tell them what sort of assistance you need, ask any question you like, and if somebody is bothering, you report it there. And then it's handled appropriately from that point on, but you have to call us. And then you could also write to us at elections@multco.us. So that's elections with an S at multco.us. That is our email address.
You mentioned a phone call that someone should make if they are being harassed or pressured to participate in voting and they don't want to. Is that the phone number that someone would call to get voter assistance from you? And yes. Also,
yeah, it's the same. You come in on the same phone number and then you're directed to the right person.
Okay, cool. So what is the contact information?
So the phone number is 503-988-8683. Our email address is elections@multco.us. Our website is mcelections.org.
We will be sure and share that information with our listeners in the form of a hyperlink in our transcript back on our home website. What is the legal history of voter accommodations in Multnomah County? And if you could cover what started this service and when, if possible, and also, have there been any hiccups or challenges to the system since it started?
Yeah, so I think the real renaissance of the voter assistance was with the HAVA, Help America Vote Act. This is really great practice for me. So 1965 was the Voting Rights Act. 1973 is called Section 504. Of the Rehabilitation Act, and I believe that this was a basis for the ADA. In 1984, there's the VEAHA, Voting Accessibility for Elderly and Handicapped Act, and then in 1990 is the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, and this is such an important act that really defined everything in a very easy to understand way. And it is a really brilliant piece of legislation that I turn to all the time. Then in 1993, there's the National Voter Registration Act. And then in 2002 was the HAVA, Help America Vote Act. So very importantly, the HAVA Act provided money to states to figure out what would best help the voters in that state. And then all that independent voting access that we have, that is due to this HABA. So that is how it was developed, and it's only gotten better. I don't think there's really been any hiccups. I think that it's important that people contact their elections office. That's always the first stop. So the Voting Rights Act of 1965, it says receive assistance from the person of the voter's choice. There's no tests of ability to read or write, no tests of any kind. So the Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 is when the disabled were first seen as a class. Up until then, it was just people were individuals that had certain disabled issues, and that was it. But in that 1973, disabled were first seen as a class of people and were able to take up power. Then in 1984, the Voting Accessibility for Elderly and Handicapped Act, that requires accessibility to the polling place or an alternative on election day. So that made it so that you had to be able to make it into the polls, or they had to set up a voting station for you where you could get to. And then again, the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, elections falls under Title II. And then the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, that means everyone gets to register. And then finally, the HAVA Help America Vote Act of 2002, which requires at least one accessible voting spot at every polling place in any election with federal candidates. And I'll stop the shark. So there's two slides with the exact same information, but they really give a really different a view. So thanks for letting me share that history. And that's where it all started.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that history. And then as far as the second part of the question, I assume there have been lots of challenges to the system, because as we all know, there was a huge struggle to get the ADA passed in 1990. And it's been a huge struggle to get every disability rights justice piece of legislation passed as well throughout the lifespan of the civil rights movement. So is there anything specific that comes to mind?
I'm really only able to talk about Multnomah County. I really can't talk about the rest of the U.S. I have done research for my own program to make sure that we are accessible. And one of the things I learned about is that assisted voting versus independent voting. And what I found was that we supported both, but we definitely did assisted voting better. And I have shored up our independent voting, especially with the new units we call the IVUs, independent voting unit. They're located in our lobby and they have all kinds of technology for a person to vote independently, even if they are low sight, no sight, are deaf, in a wheelchair. The table is adjustable, and then the ballot is read to you by the machine itself. So you can vote completely independently. And that was a program that I brought on about 3 years ago when I realized that we were very strong and assisted, but not so strong in the independent. Yeah, thanks for letting me clarify that.
Sure. Who is the staff that you work with?
So the elections office is made up of a few different components, and I pretty much work with all the different components. So we have a phone bank during election cycles, and I try to cruise through there a couple times a week to kind of update people and field any questions. But those are the people that you'll probably talk to first. The next is the front counter. So if you walk through our doors, you'll walk up to the counter and we'll have a number of staff working there. If anybody has any special questions that require my expertise, then I come forward, or all of the front counter know about our IVUs, the independent voter units. I have them practice with each other, so they are all very well versed on how to set that up for any voter that would like to use it. And then beyond that is the people that process the ballots. So as the ballots are signature verified, sorted by precinct, and opened and then tallied. Those are all separate groups. And if I have an issue that I need to discuss with any of those folks, then I just go talk to them. Thanks for that. I think I mostly work with the front counter and the phone bank. Those are the people that handle the communications with the voter, and that's who I'm focused on. Great question.
What are the rules and regulations that you abide by to stay nonpartisan?
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate that question because people want to talk things over with us all the time and we're not allowed to. So remember, elections administers the election only. We do not get involved in any content whatsoever. And I'm kind of glad you brought this up because I really noticed that voters are often hungry for knowledge. And so I started a vocabulary page because we're not allowed to even explain a word or define a term. So I have a vocabulary page on our website that you can look up some specific terms. It's translated into several languages. Since I started that project, the Secretary of State has also started a webpage, and their webpage is huge and has many, many words that are also translated into several different languages. So you have to do your own research. We are not allowed to talk about anything that has to do with content of the election. We cannot even clarify a word. All we can do is read the ballot. So we're not even allowed to read the pamphlet. People have to do their own research and talk to their own friends and family. And that's such a great question because people have to respect that elections workers cannot discuss anything in the election. And I mean anything. So I just gently remind people that I only administer the election itself. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much for answering that. I'm really curious if you have any critiques of our voting system as somebody who has worked on the inside and probably seen the sausage get made. What are your thoughts? Is there any way that you think that the voting system we do have in place could be improved?
That's a really great question. And there is a group of election clerks that suggest legislation every year that we want to have carried out. And it's done at that level. All the election clerks of Oregon kind of have a consensus of what they want to put forward. From my perspective of being the accessible voting technician in Multnomah County, I think that vote by mail system is absolutely the strongest system ever. And it has really accounts for everything. And it is very sturdy. So there are maybe some things that might modernize it, but as legislation becomes introduced, then people can take a look at that and discuss the pros and cons. From my perspective, vote by mail is awesome. Thanks.
You're listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's Disability Awareness Podcast.
What about situations where people perhaps live, obviously, in a physical location, but maybe prefer to get their mail at a P.O. box or a postal annex or a private mailbox at a different location? Sure. Are they still going to get their mallets in the mail, or
for sure
how does that work?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that question because you would not believe how complex addresses are. So we need to have a residential address because that tells your precinct and that's going to govern what ballot you get. So that's really important. Where you receive that ballot can be anywhere. And so a P.O. box is fine, or perhaps you spend a lot of time at your parents' house, so you want to get your ballot there and vote with them. You can actually even use our address of our elections office. So you can walk into our office, ask for your ballot because it's actually mailed here. And then you can vote in our lobby and turn it in. Also, I happen to do the military and overseas ballots, and you can literally get a ballot anywhere in the world. Does that answer your question, Sharon? I mean, there's a mailing address, and then there's a residential address, and they can be used for two different purposes. And then if there is no mailing address, then the residential address is where the ballot is mailed to. I mean, as long as your registration is up to date, it'll go to wherever that is. And yeah, please do call in the elections office and ask. If you're in Multnomah County, call us. And sometimes people get their ballots at work.
When I was canvassing to get people registered to vote for a couple of measures, like some years ago, I think that was like even for people who are unhoused, like you can use a park bench as your residential address. And that will be like, wow, okay. So we ended up getting a lot of people registered to vote that year.
Yeah, if you are houseless, you can use a cross street, mm-hmm. a park, or a mile marker. It just has to be precise enough for us to locate your precinct. And then you can receive the ballot anywhere, or you can walk into our office for it as well.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm very excited. It's easy to feel jaded about voting sometimes, but I am being inspired by your passion right now for democracy. I am hoping to share that passion with our audience, our listeners. So can you please help us know how to prepare to vote, where to find information on candidates, how to come up with a voting plan? How can you access information that is accessible to you? And I think we've gone over how to reach out to the Multnomah County Elections Office sometimes, but there might be some other nuances to answer that question.
That's a really great question because I can only talk about it in generalities and I can't talk about any specifics. So I really appreciate that of how to prepare to vote. But number one source is your voter's pamphlet. I already mentioned that independent living can give you access to a recording. Somebody actually sits down and reads that whole pamphlet and they divide it up very nicely so that you can skip to the section that you want. And so you can come to our website and you can listen to that download. I always think, I mean, just on a personal level, I talk to family and friends and my neighbors and discuss the various issues. I think that there are a lot of radio shows going on right now. I'm sure that you guys even touch on some things that might promote the educational goals of PCC. And then all your supportive organizations, it takes a while to do that research. And so I really recommend allowing that time to read your voter's pamphlet, to talk to friends and family, and to reach out to various organizations. The League of Women Voters also puts out a pamphlet that is really well researched. And of course, then you have your newspapers and online resources. I will say that if you come across something that you might not think is correct, please feel free to call elections and get the facts. And that's, of course, about the administration of the election. We can't really verify any facts about candidates or other contests. But yeah, really take the time or limit what you're going to vote on.
Thank you. Carissa, I'm wondering, do you have any memorable stories or spotlights from your career that you'd like to share about enabling voters and creating more access for citizens in Multnomah County?
I have so many stories of so many great voters. So stop me when you've heard enough. But one of my favorite stories, and this just happened last year, I believe, somebody was calling in for her friend who was blind that wanted to hear some discussion about a particular ballot measure. And I said, you know, we don't really do that, but they were in an independent living residence home. And I said, why don't you put a poster up, you know, by the elevators or by the cafeteria that there's going to be a discussion on this topic in the cafeteria at this time. So they had a time and a place and a date. And then to her surprise, 30 plus people showed up. Her blind friend came as well. And her blind friend really didn't want to do or say anything. She just wanted to hear discussion. And so it turned out one of the residents was a retired judge and kind of took over the meeting and made sure that everybody who wanted to speak got to speak. The people that overtalk were limited and that there was a really wonderful discussion. And so that took me maybe 4 or 5 phone calls with the friend to kind of discuss and set it up. And then I called to follow up because I was curious what happened. But that is one of my favorite stories, is making a community where you live. So building your own community to have civic discourse. And of course, I can't get involved in any of it except for I can help people set that sort of thing up. I do it all the time.
Welcome to the democracy. It's a party.
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised if people understand the rules. Like I said, they happen to have a retired judge in their midst, and the judge knew how to make sure everybody got to talk who wanted to talk. And I guess it was a marvelous success. And my hope is that, you know, these people come together again and that in the future elections and have a safe space to have discussion and hear all the different sides and points about a particular issue or set of candidates.
That's a great story.
What is the most important statement that you would like to make to our audience who may be listening?
Thank you so much for that. Here's what I want to say. Your vote counts. And I have another story for that. So your vote is always going to count, but you don't know when you're going to be the deciding vote. So that's kind of one of those kind of pieces of luck that, yes, you need to vote every single time, and your vote may be the deciding vote, but you don't know when. So in a recent election out in Gresham for mayor, and I believe it was around 60,000 votes, the two top candidates were separated by 13 or 14 votes out of 60,000. So there's an automatic recount at 0.5%. And this was within the range. And we recounted the votes, and the votes for those two candidates did not change at all. So not only did we get to have that recount, but we also proved the system was good. And it was an automatic recount, so nobody had to pay any money except for the Multnomah County voters that support elections. And I just think that both the candidates came down to observe the process. And it turns out, and I did not know this, this is a new thing to me, but the people who perform the recount have to be from that jurisdiction. So it had to be Gresham citizens, residents that performed that recount. And out of 60,000 votes, it remained the same. The outcome was the same. So I just think that's the best ever. So just think, like, if you meant to vote and you didn't get around to it, your vote could have like pushed it over the 0.5% automatic recount. So that's how important your vote can be in a pretty large election. So my big takeaway is be sure and vote. Even if you only vote on one thing that you care about, then your vote is valid and will be counted. And I so appreciate this time to talk about my passion. Thanks for noting that I have so much passion about voting.
Thank you for sharing. And that is such an amazing voting incident right there. Not only that it came down to like 14 or 15 people, you said, out of 60,000 in a district, but that the recount came up with the exact same number. So I just love it. I'm getting goosebumps right now. So I really appreciate your time coming to speak with us here. And just so you know where we're going to be putting all this, we are planning to post this podcast episode on our website, as well as putting hyperlinks to some of the resources that were mentioned in the conversation, in the written transcripts. And then the podcast itself, the audio is going to be on KBOO Community Radio and X-Ray FM, as well as our digital podcast platforms.
I clear everything with my supervisor.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so good. Look at us being professional. Okay. Cool. Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much. I know we've been emailing back and forth for months now, actually, and I'm so happy we finally were able to schedule a time to sit down and get this interview done. It's going to make amazing radio content, and also it's super, super valuable information that we're really happy to support and help broadcast.
Yeah, no, I'm really pleased. And, you know, something just kind of as an aside, I've been working with the Oregon Commission for the Blind. And for over 2 years, I've really felt like we should have employees here that are low sight, no sight. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, really proud to say we have, I believe, 4 or 5 people that are going to be working this election that are low sight, no sight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. And I'm super happy, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah. What I figure is it's a win-win-win. You know, like we're going to learn a lot. The elections workers are going to get paid and be part of the process.
Yeah.
And then we're all going to just lift our game as accommodations goes.
Well, same for us. Sharon just joined us, which I'm really excited. But also, we're going to be hosting a SWEP student from OCB this summer. I'm really excited to start delving into an entirely different editing style and strategy than what I've been using as a sighted person. We're still talking about it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, just keep me in the loop, Carrie. And if the clarification of anything, then I'm here for you. My name's Teresa Bokush. I'm a middle-aged woman with short brownish hair, wearing a black suit jacket and glasses. And I'm sporting some new hearing aids that I just got about a month ago. I'm hard of hearing and I live by closed caption, and I'm getting used to my aids. So I'm going to go over a few things about the election coming up and call it voting in 2024 in Ketchupucha presentation style. So that is 20 slides and I get to spend 20 seconds per each, and usually it's shorter. Here we go. So your vote is your voice. If you are eligible to vote, you can vote. I will make it so. The 2024 presidential voting year, our primary is coming up. It's May 21st is the deadline, and the general election is November 5th. And that is also the deadline for your ballots to be turned in. You get your ballots about 3 weeks in advance through the mail. So Oregon has closed primaries and this affects you. Your party affiliation must be established 21 days before the primary. 21 days before the primary. So this happens every 2 years when we have a primary. Your party affiliation matters. In Multnomah County, there are two kinds of assistance for voting. There's assisted voting and registration, and then there's also independent voting and registration. So can you do both? Yes. The answer is yes. So I have a number of different ways to assist people with voting or to set them up so they can vote on their own.
You're listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's Disability Awareness Podcast.
So the many forms of assisted voting. First of all, I'd like to say that anyone can help you vote if you want them to. So no one can influence your vote. You are always free to refuse help from anyone. And I think people forget that in the United States, voting is not compulsory. So if you don't want to vote, you don't have to. And if you have any question about someone helping you to vote, you can always call the elections office. And I'll give this contact information a few times, but it's 503-988-8683. So anybody that you want can help you vote. So assisted voting, we actually have teams of two people that can come to your house or a park or a cafe and read and mark your ballot. Then they review it with you, and then you can put it in the envelope or they can put it in the envelope, and then you sign your envelope. So that is part of the assisted voting experience. And then for independent voting, you use the internet. So I have a list of things that you need, but basically you need an internet connection, a screen reader, a computer, a printer, and Oregon ID. So you can register to vote independently, and you can actually vote independently as well. You still need that envelope. So make a plan to vote. We also have large print registration forms and ballots. We can mail them to you. And then independent living resources can provide a recording of the voter's pamphlet. This must be requested well in advance. And we just have you contact them directly. Independent Living Resources in Multnomah County is 503-232-7411 or info@ilr.com. And if you make that request, then you actually get media that you can play and review. We also have it downloaded on our website, so you could come to Multnomah County website and you could find that same recording. So at our office, we have IVUs. They're independent voter units. So you can walk into the office and go old school and vote at a polling place. There, anybody can use them. You do not need to be disabled, but there are headphones and controls to make the speech slow, fast, loud, soft. There's a touch screen for voting and navigation, and then there's a handheld Braille controller for navigating and voting as well. Come in and check it out. So this is a picture of it, and I also have a schematic. It's just a touch screen with a printer, and the headphones are shown, and also the handheld controller. And then this is with everything labeled. I named it the IVU, Independent Voter Unit. I didn't realize that I actually named it, but I did. So what makes a ballot valid? People ask us all the time, will my ballot be counted? And it's your signature and it's your envelope. The envelope is crucial, and your signature needs to be somewhat close in to your registration signature. If you're concerned about your voter's mark, that's the technical term, voter's mark, then we can talk about it and we have other solutions. So in general, the registration form fixes darn near everything. If you have a name change, a name misspelling, a change of address, change of party affiliation, or a challenge signature, the registration form will fix it. And by the way, in Multnomah County, we have a special deal with all post offices and libraries. They will have a stack of registration cards. You do not have to wait in line. You should be able to see it on some shelf and just go grab one and fill it out and mail it in. So we also have mobile units. We have these really great laptops and battery-operated printers. We can come to your house and we can print out a ballot to mark. Again, you have to have your own envelope, or we have to make arrangements ahead of time to make sure we have that special envelope that has your name on it. So do it in advance. Don't wait. Plan your voting now. Make sure that your address is updated. Make sure you're comfortable with your signature. Decide if you want help and who you will ask. And then one of the things that election cannot do is we cannot discuss any of the content of the ballot. We administer the voting only. And so you have to actually discuss things with other people. And we'll talk about that later. So call me. If you need help, call me. My name's Carissa. And the elections phone number is 503-988-8683. Ask for me if you need any special assistance. Anybody who answers the phone can answer any general questions. And let's see, I think I have one more. Oh, thank you. And I love critical feedback. Tell me how I can improve my presentation. I will be so appreciative.
Thank you, Carissa. That was really great. That was an awesome presentation. And that's the end of our episode. Thank you so much for listening. With the upcoming 2024 elections, how will members of our community ensure that their voice is heard? Thanks to the efforts of the voter assistance team at Multnomah County Elections Office and historical legislation that made accessible voting options possible, voters have access to many tools and resources, like large print forms, Braille, text-to-speech, utilizing voter assistance teams, or going into the Multnomah County Elections Office and using one of the independent voting units. Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you found this conversation to be informative and helpful this election season. Let's talk some more next time. Today's episode was made possible thanks to the hard work of Eugene Holden, our webmaster, myself and Sharon Verdine, who produced and hosted this episode, our production assistant, Mary Newman, who composed the tracks you heard in the introduction, and the rest of the team responsible for alt formatting the transcriptions. Thank you, Let's Talk Podcast Collective and Accessible Education Disability Resources at Portland Community College, and our partnership with the Multimedia Department and everywhere else this is broadcasted. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
And finally, a very special thanks to our guest, Carissa Bohush from the Multnomah County Elections Office.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resource Department, and the PCC Multimedia Department. We air new episodes on our home website and cable radio, 90.7 FM.
Oh, hey, are you still here? Well, great. Thanks for sticking around. We have some amazing bonus content for you. Content warning for anybody who may be sensitive to descriptions of medical procedures.
Hi, I'm Sharon Verdine, who will eventually be better known on air as Ann Verdine. Thank you for listening to this episode of Let's Talk, the first episode in which I was involved. Signing on to Let's Talk was my first step in a long time toward pursuing a career in one of my lifelong passions, audio. Whether it was listening to the radio, listening to my favorite TV shows, listening to my favorite YouTubers nowadays and their YouTube videos, I've always loved listening to something. You might wonder, Anne, why don't you ever watch anything? Because I can't. I am totally blind, and I have been my whole life. I could give you some medicalese term to explain why, but I was born very early, and in order to survive, I was given so much oxygen that my retinas, which were the part of my eyes that were really going to be responsible for my vision, were burned out. I've never been one to let my blindness alone stop me from living the life I wanted to live. there have been things and people who have stood between me and my heart's deepest desires and dreams. That's another story for a different time, if I ever choose to tell it. But what I will say is that last year, here I was in my 40s, having just left a job that I knew was no longer going to work for me, and I could no longer work for it. And I was asking myself that age-old question, what do I really want to do? Knowing that I needed some way to make money, I accepted a job at Portland Community College as a tech reviewer. My job is to go to websites that the college is considering implementing and seeing how well they work with my special program that I have to use to read the screen since, after all, I'm too blind to read it myself. After doing that for about 7 months, I knew that was not going to be my forever job either. It just wasn't my passion. Having heard about the Let's Talk Podcast Collective, I decided to check them out. My manager told me who to contact, and I turned down this road. A road that has led me to participating in this episode and will lead me to participating in many episodes to come. I hope you'll tune in to those episodes. Let's talk.
The Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmental